While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Healthcare algorithms are literally deciding who lives and who dies. Maya, you've been tracking this pattern across multiple hospitals?
Alex, I'm sitting here with discharge data from 12 major hospital systems, and what I'm seeing, it's making me sick. These AI systems are consistently flagging Black and Latino patients as lower risk for readmission, which means they're getting less follow-up care, fewer resources, everything. We're talking about cardiac patients here.
Walk us through what you found specifically.
Okay, so these predictive algorithms, they're trained on historical data, right? But that data already reflects decades of healthcare disparities. Black patients historically had fewer doctor visits, not because they were healthier, but because of access barriers. Now the AI sees that pattern and goes, oh, less likely to need care. It's literally encoding discrimination.
Advocate Amara, you actually worked inside one of these tech companies building these systems. What was happening behind closed doors?
The meetings were surreal, Alex. We'd have these all hands where leadership would talk about democratizing healthcare while our training data came from affluent zip codes. I raised concerns about bias in our sepsis detection algorithm. It was missing critical signs and darker skin tones because our image data sets were 89% white patients. Management's response? We'll address that in version 2.0.
Version 2.0? People are dying now. This ain't some app update we're talking about.
And that's exactly why we're filing a class action. Maya's data is Exhibit A. We have documented cases where the algorithm recommended early discharge for a 58-year-old Black woman with chest pains. She had a heart attack in the parking lot. Same algorithm kept a white male with identical symptoms for observation.
Carlos, legally speaking, how do you prove algorithmic discrimination when these companies hide behind proprietary code?
That's the challenge. These firms claim trade secrets, but we're using disparate impact theory. If the outcomes show consistent racial bias, the intent doesn't matter. We don't need to see their code, we need to see their results. And the results are damning.
I can tell you exactly what's in that code because I wrote some of it. We used zip code as a proxy variable, supposedly for socioeconomic factors, but everyone knew it was really coding for race. Property values, school ratings, even previous insurance claims, all these neutral factors that just happened to correlate with racial segregation.
This is what gets me heated, y'all. They know. When I talk to families who lost someone because an algorithm said they were fine to go home, voice rising, these tech bros sitting in their glass offices talking about optimization while Mrs. Rodriguez is planning her husband's funeral because the AI didn't think a Latino man's symptoms warranted overnight observation.
Let's pull back and look at the pattern, because it's not just healthcare. Amara, you mentioned your team also worked on hiring algorithms.
Different team, same problems. The hiring AI was trained on successful employee data, meaning people who'd been promoted within tech companies. Surprise, surprise, it started screening out resumes with ethnic names, graduates from HBCUs, anyone with employment gaps that might indicate caregiving responsibilities. It literally learned to discriminate, like a 1950s hiring manager.
And they marketed this as removing human bias. That's the part that kills me. They sell discrimination as progress.
We're seeing this across sectors. Housing algorithms that won't approve rentals in certain neighborhoods. Insurance algorithms that charge higher premiums based on shopping patterns that correlate with race. It's digital redlining.
The French article Maya sent talks about this affecting social workers too. They're being told to use AI tools that don't understand cultural contexts. Can you translate what you found there?
Switching to more technical tone. So Le Travail Social au Défi de l'AI, it's documenting how French social workers are being forced to use assessment algorithms designed for white middle-class families. The AI flags normal extended family arrangements in African immigrant communities as unstable home environments. It doesn't recognize cultural childcare practices as valid.
Same thing happened with our child welfare predictive model. It was trained on cases from suburban counties. When they deployed it in urban areas with different family structures, it started flagging single-parent households at 3 times the rate. Not because of actual risk, because of how it defined normal.
This brings us to criminal justice. Carlos, you've been tracking predictive policing algorithms.
It's a nightmare wrapped in a dashboard. These systems take arrest data, which already reflects biased policing, and use it to predict where crime will happen. So they send more cops to black and brown neighborhoods, make more arrests there, feed that data back into the system. It's a discrimination feedback loop.
Voice rising with anger. They got algorithms deciding who gets bail, how long sentences should be, who's likely to reoffend, all based on data poisoned by centuries of racist enforcement. Then they call it evidence-based, like that makes it scientific instead of systemic oppression with a silicon chip.
The worst part, when I tried to build in fairness constraints, management said it would make the system less accurate. They literally told me that bias was a feature, not a bug, because it reflected real-world patterns.
How do we break this cycle? What are communities doing to fight back?
Switching back to organizer mode. Okay, so here's where it gets good. We've got community groups doing algorithmic audits, training residents to document every interaction with these systems. When the housing algorithm denies them, when the job site filters them out, when the hospital sends them home too early, we're building our own database.
And that community-generated data is powerful in court. Judges understand stories. When Mrs. Chen testifies that the algorithm denied her a loan despite perfect credit because it didn't like her shopping patterns, that resonates.
Tech workers are also organizing from the inside. We've got whistleblower networks, people leaking training data, documenting management decisions. The benchmarking educational LLMs study someone leaked that showed how even language models absorb and amplify bias. Every prompt about professional communication returned examples that matched white, male speech patterns.
What about regulatory responses? Are governments stepping up?
Slowly. The EU's AI Act includes provisions about high-risk uses. Some US cities have banned facial recognition, but enforcement is another story. These companies have armies of lawyers and lobbyists.
That's why we can't wait for regulation. Communities are building their own alternatives. Detroit has a resident-led review board for any algorithmic decision-making in city services. Oakland requires public algorithms to be open source.
And we're seeing tech cooperatives forming, groups building AI tools with community input from day one. Not perfect, but at least accountable to users instead of venture capitalists.
Let's talk about that article finding on racial bias in educational predictions. How does that pattern extend beyond schools?
Man, it's the same playbook everywhere. The education algorithms predicting success based on test scores that correlate with income. But look at gig economy algorithms. They're predicting reliable drivers based on acceptance rates that punish people who can't afford to take every ride. Healthcare algorithms predicting compliance based on who can afford medications. It's all about encoding existing inequality and calling it prediction.
The legal framework is evolving. We're arguing these algorithms are state actors when used by government agencies. That triggers constitutional protections. Due process means you have a right to know why a decision was made.
But companies are already working around that. They're creating explainable AI that gives reasons, but the reasons are still biased. Like, we denied your loan because of your shopping patterns. Doesn't help when those patterns just mean you shop at ethnic grocery stores.
This seems overwhelming. Where do we even start pushing back?
Passionate now. We start by refusing to normalize this. Every time someone says the algorithm decided, we ask, oh, made that algorithm? What data trained it? Who profits from its decisions? We start teaching our communities that these ain't neutral machines. They're automation of oppression.
Documentation is crucial. Screenshot everything. Save denial letters. Record interactions. The companies want to hide behind complexity, but patterns emerge when communities compare notes.
And know your rights. In healthcare, you can demand human review. In employment, you can request information about automated decision-making. These rights exist, but aren't advertised.
What about the global dimension? The French study suggests this is worldwide.
It's colonial tech, straight up. These systems get developed in Silicon Valley or London, then exported globally without any cultural adaptation. And I've been talking to organizers in Sao Paulo, Lagos, Mumbai, same algorithms making culturally clueless decisions about their communities.
The training data problem is even worse globally. These models learn from Western datasets, then get deployed in contexts they literally cannot understand. Financial algorithms trained on US credit patterns making loan decisions in Kenya. Healthcare AI trained on European symptoms missing diseases common in South Asia.
International human rights law is actually ahead of US law here. The UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty called algorithmic decision-making in welfare systems digital apartheid. That framing is powerful.
So we're racing different injustices against each other. Healthcare versus housing versus criminal justice. Which sector is winning this terrible race?
They're all connected, though. The same person denied healthcare, gets flagged by predictive policing, can't get housing because of the arrest, loses their job to a hiring algorithm. It's a web, not a race.
If I had to pick the most dangerous, it's the metastasis. These biases spreading across systems, reinforcing each other. Your health data affects your insurance, which affects your credit score, which affects your housing options. Intersectional oppression, automated.
From a harm perspective, criminal justice algorithms have the most immediate, devastating impact. But healthcare algorithms might have the highest body count. It's all unacceptable.
As we wrap up, what's the path forward?
Community power, always. We're not asking for better algorithms. We're demanding human rights. The right to housing, healthcare, fair wages, freedom from surveillance. Technology should serve those rights, not subvert them.
Tech workers need to refuse to build oppression. I left my six-figure job because I couldn't keep optimizing discrimination. More of us need to say no, leak documents, sabotage if necessary.
Legal challenges will continue, but we need legislative action. Algorithmic accountability laws with teeth, public ownership of public decision-making systems, and always, always affected communities at the table.
Code switching to vernacular aliased. Look, at the end of the day, we've been surviving systems trying to sort and rank and dispose of us forever. These algorithms are just the newest version, but we see them now. We know their tricks, and we're organizing like we always do, with love for our people and righteous anger at oppression.
The evidence is clear. From healthcare to housing, employment to criminal justice, algorithmic bias is automating historical injustices at unprecedented scale. But as today's conversation shows, affected communities aren't passive victims. They're documenting, organizing, and building alternatives. The race isn't between different sectors of discrimination. It's between automated oppression and collective liberation. And if history teaches us anything, it's that organized communities, armed with truth and solidarity, find ways to win.